Thank you for downloading this episode of Historical Hut or Not. This episode was recorded live at Leicester Comedy Festival. It was recorded through a single mic. Some of it might sound a bit odd as a result. I had to artificially turn up some of the audience interjections so you could hear them. But it means there are some odd volume jumps here and there. Also, just as a side note of shame on my part, I factually corrected an audience member halfway through this. I like to think of myself as a walking IMDb, Internet Movie Database, and someone called the Raquel Welsh prehistoric drama 1 million years BC. They called it 10,000 BC, and then I correct them and say, no, it's 100,000 BC, but we're both wrong, it's 1 million BC. However, I think my history was trumping my cinema knowledge there, because although the film is called 1 million BC, Homo sapiens, as depicted in this film, they didn't exist in 1 million BC, did they? They didn't appear until about 300,000 years ago. So out of the three of us, this guy in the audience, the producers of 1 million BC, and myself, I was closest when humans appeared, even if I got the name of the film wrong. Anyway, I'm now going to have to go and crawl into a cineast shame well of some kind and, I don't know, beat myself with a mace like that albino monk in the Da Vinci Code. I don't know. But while I do that, you can listen to this live episode of Historical Hot or Not, and we hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much.
They might be a Viking or a Saxon or a Roman, but tell me, do you like them? Would you sex them? Would you bone them? Would you go to bed with King Ethelred? Would you bonk William the Conqueror up in the sheets with Samuel Pepys? Mussolini was a meanie, led a fascist insurrection, but does he make you creamy? Does he give you an erection? Would you pork Richard the Duke of York? Does a boner start when you think of Bonaparte? Are you sexually aroused at the thought of Pol Pot? Historical hot or not?
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. Where's my microphone?
Oh, yeah, one cast.
Can I have one? There we go. Woo, yeah. Oh, we all go. I mean, I don't need it. It's turned off. Is it? Is that on? I don't fucking know. I'm loud enough for all of us, aren't I? Are you all? Amazing. Thank you for being here. This is Historical Hut or Not. I will take it to you to explain what the fuck is going on here, Jen.
Thank you for coming to the recording. Give me a cheer if you've heard this podcast before online. Really? Genuinely, one person is one more than I was expecting from that. This is Historical Hot or Not. We like to describe it as the podcast perineum that connects the anus of history with the genitals of comedy. That's what we're going for with this. The theme of, do you want to say what the theme of the podcast is, Kath?
It's just to talk about historical people and whether we'd fuck them or not. Are you on board?
Yeah!
There we go, that's what the people want, isn't it? So we have asked for your suggestions. We have got a person in mind, don't worry, we're not just going to like fucking pull an hour out of our arseholes about some random, but we're not that good. Would you believe we're not actually historians at all? I know, so shall we have it? We'll begin. And
I do think the rating people from history on their bangability is what's missing from the rest of this history podcast. I think Dominic Sandbrook and Tom Holland are really missing a trick by not rating Anne Boleyn's hotness out of 0 to 10.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. But hey, I'm not a historian. What do I know?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Catherine Mather and this is Dr. Aidan McCaffrey. We don't have doctorates at all. Unless you have it as an option on a drop-down menu, then I'm always a fucking doctor. Right, let's have a little. We'll have a look. We'll have a dive into the.
Because it's good to get to know the audience at the start of a show, and we could ask you questions about yourself. But we think nothing will be more revealing than finding out the names you wrote when we said, "Who do you fancy that's dead?" And you've written some names on here. So let's find out who you'd fuck from history, okay?
This one says my nan. No, says okay. Here's the first challenge, reading all of your handwriting.
Someone's written something like Lillian Laulon.
Lillian Lenton.
Suffragette.
Very famous picture of her. She just looks quite cute. She's just sort of looking away slightly.
Do you fancy him?
Oh, God, no. She doesn't mind. I mean, this is a one-way thing here, I'm afraid, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do endorse consent here at Historical Hot or Not, but the people we talk about have been dead for a very long time, so we're just assuming that they're into it with us. Okay, then, so we've got a suffragette.
Photo's quite cute, and that's kind of what this podcast stems from, because we've all gone down a Wikipedia wormhole, we're reading about someone from history, and your eye wanders over to that picture in the corner. Do you know what I mean? Of that suffragette being stampled by a horse, and you think, she's quite cute though, isn't she? She is quite cute.
I would before and after.
Yeah. Right, this one says Georgiana Spencer, open bracket, the Duchess. Who's written this?
Oh my God, it's not Jimmy Savile's mum, is it?
What's your name is?
Megan.
Nice to meet you, Megan. Who's Georgina Spencer, the Duchess?
She's from the film The Duchess.
Is that the one with Helen Mirren? What I did there was I just thought historical film. I'm just going to throw the name of Helen Mirren out there and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And but this is the thing. This is the trap we fall into. Is the real life Duchess hot? Or is Keira Knightley hot as the Duchess?
I can't say I've Googled that.
Then why do you come to this show then? Because I've always fancied Joan of Arc in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah, a lot of guys just went, yeah, yeah. Just straight off the bat. But the thing is, it's not Joan of Arc. It's, what's her name from the Go-Go's?
Jane Wheedling.
Really hot. Joan of Arc, though, who knows? I mean, she was hot right at the end. When... she was going up in flames. But whether she hot before that, I don't know. Jane Wheedling and Keira Knightley. Very
hot. Oh, I could light a cigarette off her.
I like her personality as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what we're all here for, the fucking personalities.
I mean, we've got a solid one here, and if anyone says no, get out. Princess Diana. I think, would we?
Yeah,
we fucking would. Who put Princess Diana? Yeah, you were like, how recent is history?
It's history for me. She died before I was even born.
Oh my God, no way. Oh, I remember it happening and now I feel old.
There's no way to alienate a crowd better than to say you were born after the death of Princess Diana. I often time it to the election of Tony Blair as well. Like, if you're born after Tony Blair was elected, you can fuck right off.
I think, is that the rule with The Crown? You're allowed to watch it up until the point that you remember it as history, and then you're like, nah, I can't anymore.
Season
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Once it gets to Diana in the see-through dress, it's just too real. Ah, the classic one here. Young Stalin! Exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But young Stalin really raised... Because there's a biography by Simon Sebag Montefiore, and they've put the picture of him when he was 20. And, like, even by modern standards, he is gorgeous. Like, you could take a picture of Stalin aged 18 into any hairdressers in the UK and go, I want that. I want the young Stalin. And they'd understand. He's a dreamboat. But it raises a problem that comes up on this podcast is, like, hotness versus personality. Because, as we always say, nothing kills a Y-dom like a pogrom. And he's the guy did a fair few pogroms. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? A genocide ages you, doesn't it? We have learned that from Stalin's face. We've got Raquel Welsh in 10,000 years BC. Oh, are we just naming celebrities that are alive now? Is that... I've never seen this film and I don't know who Raquel Welsh is.
It's like a... It's 100... I'm just going to fact check whoever wrote this. It's 100,000 years BC. I'm a bit of an IMDb, sorry. Who wrote Raquel Welsh?
That might have been me.
Yeah. Can I do two?
Is she dead?
Recently. Actually, not so... Yeah, a couple of years ago, maybe.
She's in.
Yeah,
she's
in. Yeah.
She's dead, therefore she's in. She's very attractive.
She's got to be in.
So you've very much gone for the physical attractiveness. She's a very beautiful woman, blonde.
Well, she has a very strong character in that movie.
Oh, yeah, very strong character in that film. Two very strong characters, am I right? we'll go from the body to the mind here. Someone's written Voltaire.
Oh,
no. Is the lady at the back with the glasses, what's your name?
Maureen,
nice to meet you, Maureen. How come you've gone for Voltaire?
So open-minded.
Oh, yeah, baby, he'd do anything to me.
You like your sweet nothings to be enlightenment philosophy, don't you? Just whisper gently into your ear.
Did he have a good haircut?
did he have a good haircut, Murray?
I don't know, just
fair dues. Shall we?
I think this, like, no offence, I've got no reason to think you're lying. But I sort of feel like this is if you say to someone, what's your favourite film? And they say, like, Schindler's List, actually. Do you know what I mean? But actually, it's just something stupid like Beverly Hills Cop 2. I think really Stalin is your hot person, but you've said Voltaire to sound educated. So sorry to call you out on that.
This is a person that I don't know, but what's written in brackets has piqued my interest. Zheng Yi Sao, Pirate Queen. Oh my god. Oh, that was you, yeah? Pirate
Queen. 60,000 pirate ships.
Oh my god, 60. Yeah.
She managed to get through seducing two pirate lords, so she must have been pretty.
Oh my god, I love that.
And my wife wouldn't let me write Elizabeth Bathory, did.
Oh yeah, because.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah, she was just stood next to you going, no serial
like
killers.
By the virgins, you know.
Please, no serial killers. Okay.
But well, if Stalin's on, if Stalin is in there, he can have a serial killer shortly.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I reckon Elizabeth Bathory was probably quite small time compared to Stalin.
Well, yeah, but then there is the Stalin quote, which is one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. For that reason, Stalin might get on, but yours won't. I don't know. I'm thinking freely like Voltaire. What can I expect?
We usually begin with a superficial assessment of the individual that we are going to be discussing. Does anyone want to hazard a guess as to who we might be speaking about today?
But bearing in mind, we've tried to cater it to the local Leicester interests. I think you've all gone too obvious by saying Richard III. That would be the obvious.
Yeah, answer. Obviously, yeah. Wouldn't it?
So who are we doing, Kath?
So this is Richard. He's 32.
And he died in Leicester.
Yeah. So here he is. And we didn't have to go to the gift shop of the King Richard III Visitor Centre to get this postcard because Aidan's printer broke this morning. £10 entry fee. But anyway, here we go. There he is. That's what he would have looked like. What are we thinking?
Hot or not? Just based on looks so far. Not you, you're
bit
saying
chinny,
no.
Fair.
I think he's quite good looking.
Yeah. So give us a cheer if it's hot. No, okay, and give us a cheer if it's not. Oh, okay.
Lancaster, not interested in the local celebrity.
Oh no, we'll have to take this back
about,
to the gift shop.
What's your name there, mister? What's your name?
Chani.
When we showed the picture of him, you straight away went, no. No. Why did you have such a visceral reaction to King Richard III?
Not my time.
Not your time.
Is it the hair? Or the hat, because the hat's... That it's a shit hat, isn't it?
I thought maybe the reaction was so strong, I wondered if, like, your ex-boyfriend just looks identical to Richard III, and you're now thinking, I've come to the wrong show.
Oh, we actually dated in college.
So we've looked at his face, and we've decided he's not hot between all of us here at the Globe tonight in Leicester. But let's find out about his life. I'm going to tell you a few facts about his life, and then we can have another little vote at the end and see if it's changed your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The stony face of a crowd were like, we've decided. Richard was born in 1452 in Northamptonshire, the 11th of 12 children of Richard III, Duke of York, and Cecily Neville, who was a woman who back then was enough. Local feeling, here's a question. On a scale of 0 to 10, how do you feel about this local celebrity, Richard III? And just to give you the scale, 10 would be how people from Sheffield feel about Sean Bean. 0 would be how people from Scarborough feel about Jimmy Savile. And 5 would be how people from Northampton feel about Faye Tozer from Steps. So, I'm going to shout some numbers out. Where are we at with Richard III?
7.
Cheer the number you feel the most aligned to. 0. Woo! 3. 5. 7. Yeah. Oh, 10?
No.
So you don't want to fuck him, but you're quite excited that he's like your local celebrity. Yeah. So doing better than Faye Tozer from Steps, but not quite as good as Sean Bean. I think that's an okay showing. Oh, actually, I've got one more question before we get really into it. Is that, give me a cheer if you are in the Richard III Society.
Cheers,
yeah. Are you really? Oh, okay, thank God for that.
I'm quite glad because I watched a documentary about when they unearthed the skeleton from the thing, and they're fucking mental, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Ricardians are in, like, their hobby is just making sure people have a better opinion of Richard III, a man we're about to discover murdered people for no reason. They're an odd bunch.
I got caught by one in the museum and I couldn't get out. It was closing. I'm like, please let me go. Yeah, he was nice.
So Ricky III, I'm going to call him Ricky III. Yeah. Ricky III's dad died in the Battle of Wakefield because of the War of the Roses. Richard spent a lot of time like hopping back and forth across the Channel for safety. Kind of like a series of charity swims done by David Walliams. Always crossing the Channel, always coming back. And it's because of the War of the Roses. His dad got killed in it. His brother became king in it. His brother was getting, Edward IV would get deposed and then he'd have to go. It was like very, very dramatic. I do miss the days of people marching into England to take the throne. Like in an ideal situation, I would like Keir Starmer not to face Sunak at the ballot box. I'd want him to form an alliance with Macron and then come over the Channel with an army. Depose Sunak, who is then buried in like a car park. And then Liz Truss fucks off to France, and then the whole cycle starts again. That would be so much more entertaining, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And also, how shit do battles sound from the past? Like, the Battle of Wakefield. Oh, fuck off. Agincourt. Oh, that's sexy. Wakefield. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, my brother lives in Wakefield.
Do they have a vineyard?
They have a Yates's in Wakefield. They don't have a... Do they have a Yates's wine bar here?
They used to.
I only ask because when I was walking around town earlier, I heard someone say, "And that's where Yates's used to be." And I wasn't sure if it was.
Oh, yeah.
I thought maybe it was like the Free City tour. Do you know what I mean? Showing the site. I don't know.
My cousin was in the Battle of Yates's car park.
Yes.
There we go. Anyway, so Ricky III, he had an interesting childhood. He was made the Duke of Gloucester when his brother Edward became king. When he was 8 years old, which I think puts into perspective the debate about when children should get smartphones. You know what I mean? This guy was the Duke of Gloucester when he was 8. You know what I mean? He could probably handle a rudimentary smartphone. As a teenager, he was made Commissioner of Array for the Western Counties, and he had an independent military command by the time he was 17. Kath, what were you doing when you were 17, and did it involve battalions?
Well, I discovered cannabis. At 17. That really got in the way of me getting things done. I'd also discovered, I don't know if you're familiar with them, boys. And and a pub that would serve me at 17. So really don't remember much from that period.
So you didn't have a battalion of 100 longbowmen?
Oh, I wish I had.
But your list of sexual conquests is in the three-figure range.
Yes. And if anyone was in my show that I've just done, you'll know how big a lie that was.
Was anyone in Kath's show just now? Like an hour ago?
That is a wonderful return.
Because someone whooped when you were speaking earlier, I thought they were. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked. So. I feel like I've shown you up there, Kath.
It's to embarrass me. It's fine, isn't it?
After being deposed and becoming king again, Eddie IV made Ricky III governor of the north, and he ruled the north of England. So he was kind of like Andy Burnham of the 15th century, but with scoliosis. And like Richard III, Andy Burnham is going to die at the hands of a regional usurper, probably Angela Rayner. After Eddie IV died, his 12-year-old son, Ed V, succeeded him. Richard was named Lord Protector of the Realm. Now, Kath, before we go on to the next bit, how do you feel about a prospective sexual partner being guilty of, say, shall we say, infanticide? Would that be like a turn-on or a turn-off for you?
If he'd killed kids?
Yeah.
I'm probably out, I'll be honest. That being said, how good's his hair?
Lovely hair.
Is it good enough to overlook killing kids?
Yeah.
One, yes.
You, ma'am, how silky would a man's hair have to be for you to ignore the fact that he may have killed two small children?
What Tresemme advert, at least.
Tresemme advert, at least. So there is hope.
Yeah, oh.
So the infanticide for you is not a deal breaker. You might still swipe right.
There's no evidence.
Hang on, someone's asking for evidence. I think the Ricardian Society is in here. 12-year-old future Eddie Five and his younger brother Richard were lodged in the Tower of London by Ricky Three, supposedly in preparation for the former's forthcoming coronation. Which is a bit dastardly, like, if you go upstairs and just hide up there, stay quiet in your room, we'll put a crown on you.
The thing is, right, it does seem questionable that someone would put someone in a prison before a big performance, but we're actually staying at a hotel that I've seen nicer prison rooms. And we went into it. We saw that room and went into it, so it's not that out there.
People often say with comedians, you're so brave. I don't know how you do. The brave thing is where we're willing to stay in provincial English towns after we've gigged. That's the brave part. That is the brave part. The 16th century historian Holinshed's Chronicles accounts that little by little, all folk withdrew from the tower and drew unto Crosby's in Bishopsgate Street, where the protector kept his household. The protector had the result, the king in manner desolate. This is like a really old English way of saying that King Edward V had basically become like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. And we're probably going to get some kind of trap situation set up to ward off any burglars. Bishop Richard Stillington reportedly told Ricky III that Eddie IV's marriage to Elizabeth Woodville was invalid because of Eddie's earlier union with Eleanor Butler, making Eddie V and his siblings illegitimate. Afterwards, noble and commoner citizens of London drew up a petition asking Ricky III to assume the throne. Kath, do you think Richard accepted?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. There we go. 50-50, wasn't it?
It was accepted and was crowned Westminster Abbey on the 6th of July, 1483. In the same summer, the princes disappeared. Oh.
No.
And no one knows what happened to them. Genuinely, no one knows exactly for sure. And I think this is where the Ricardians are like, no one really knows. But I will say, in 1674, workmen excavated two small human skeletons from under a staircase. Probably not connected, right?
What I would say is, they never found Keith, but Ian Brady is still in prison. So, you know. No? All right, fair enough. You don't agree?
It's important in any show to find the line.
Yeah.
And even though we were joking about genocide earlier, she said that and you're like, oh, no.
You were correct, Megan. No serial killers. There we go. It's a different podcast.
Is Brady still alive?
Nah, he died not too long ago. And fucking good.
Yeah, that'll get the back inside, Kath.
Yeah, there we go. Bring back Angin, right?
Yeah, whoa. That's how the Third Reich started. Richard III, like, he probably did kill those kids. But he did do some good things. Do you want to hear some good things that he did?
Yeah.
To maybe put him back in the bang column?
Yeah,
This might go on for bang column, especially as you're a northerner, Kath.
Yeah.
Richard's Council of the North is said to have greatly improved conditions in the north of England, turning it from a quagmire into a shithole. Is an improvement.
I guess.
I may have added the quagmire shithole addendum to that paragraph. But
you're from the north too.
Yeah, but I'm from Harrogate, so. And Harrogate's not really part of the north, is it? It is in the north. But it's kind of like someone's taken a bit of Kent and gone, whoop, in Yorkshire. Do you know what I mean? So,
and
it's not like the shitty part that you're from, Kent.
All right, dickhead. I was going to say, everyone from Kent's a cunt, and that must be why you are. Is anyone in from Kent?
No.
Everyone from Kent's a cunt. And that must be why you are too, Adam.
Kat, I think this might get him back in the Quinn column.
Yeah.
Dickie 3 instituted what would later become the court, known as the Court of Requests, in which poor people who could not afford legal representation could apply for their grievances to be heard. He's the Jeremy Corbyn of the 15th century. Come on, Kath. Is that not...
Did they do anything, though? Or were they just like, we'll listen to you, and yeah, fuck off, it's still all the same?
I don't take follow-up questions because I did scant research on this. So you've just got to accept that fact is is it?
Golden. Yeah. What a great guy.
He improved bail to protect suspected felons from imprisonment. That's quite good. It's a liberal reform.
So he stopped felons from going to prison.
Oh, right. That is.
But then put kids in prison and killed them.
Yeah, but then,
oh, look, like a male feminist, isn't it? Oh, I'm such a great guy. Yeah. Fuck off, mate.
You're sounding quite right wing in this episode. Ah. Well. Because he's protecting suspected felons before they've been...
Oh, right, okay, fair enough.
And you were immediately... When Richard Littlejohn on the issue, you were just like... Keir Starmer wants to protect felons. That's where you went.
Look at me. I'm not right-wing. I'm wearing a leopard print cat suit, for fuck's sake.
That's what Sunak was wearing. In Ricky 3, banned restrictions on the printing and sale of books.
What?
Well, that's good, right?
What? He stopped books?
No, he banned restrictions.
Sorry.
On printing and sale of books.
No, that is good. Yeah, okay, that's good. But who could read them?
A few men and no women.
Okay, great. Yeah. Really happy for him.
He ordered the translation. Oh, that's boring. I'm not going to read that.
No, you've started till you're finished. It's fucking mastermind here, mate.
He ordered the translation of the written laws and statutes from the traditional French into English.
That is good.
That's good.
It's not funny, though, is it?
No, but a lot of this isn't, so it's fine.
So, is the fact that he translated the statutes from French into English, is that another thing that makes you forget about the child murder?
What, did he murder them with his own two hands?
Oh!
Oh, did he murder them in French?
So are you saying that, like, if you're on Tinder and someone said, I have killed children, but I ordered an intermediary consigliere character to do it.
If he's been in a Tresemme advert,
then... Well, yeah, fair enough. Very silky hair. Very silky
They're
hair.
Just so silky.
Do you want to hear some more bad things he did for full disclosure?
Yeah.
These aren't exciting, they're brutal. He executed William Hastings, an important courtier of Edifor.
They put up my car insurance, so fuck him. 80 quid, I ain't crashed the fucker. Yeah. Apparently, it's because other cars are more expensive. I drive a shit car and I've got to pay for someone. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Is that why you got the train here?
Yeah, that is why I got the train here, yeah.
He also executed Sir Richard Grey, the half-brother of Eddie Five. He executed Thomas Vaughan, a Welsh statesman and diplomat and Eddie Four loyalist. I will say, though, they were all powerful white men, and I know you dislike the patriarchy, so this could be in the win column for you.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. Do you know, we did an episode. This is a podcast, and there are lots of episodes online you can go and listen to, historical hot on that. We did an episode on Guy Fawkes, where Kath pitched to me, because we take it in turns to pitch. She pitched to me Guy Fawkes, and I was like, no, I'm not going to fuck. He tried to blow up Parliament. He's a terrorist. And like, well,
right?
Then she was like, but I would bang him, and I went, why? And he goes, because he's doing that to the man. Like, he's not, he's like a terrorist.
He's a bad boy. Look at the hair. Right? Yeah. And who hasn't thought about blowing up Parliament once in a while?
That's such a lame, I'm on question time, I'm going to get like a cheap applause line. Who hasn't thought of man to enter Parliament with honourable intentions was Guy Fawkes, am I right?
Were they Tories?
I guess so.
No, well, it predates the traditional, risk of being dull, it predates the traditional party structure as we know it now.
And also it was before the police, so you could just like, you could hire, legitimately fucking hire the basement of the Houses of Parliament, like, don't worry, this is just where I keep my gunpowder and my matches, don't worry about it, man. They left him with a stopwatch and a match. Can you imagine being found next to a pile of gunpowder with a match and a watch? You'd be like, and what are you doing, sir? Nothing. Anyway, we're not talking about Guy Fawkes. But would we?
Yeah,
so shut up.
I can't believe everyone's on your side with this, Kath. It just makes me so angry. In 1483, supporters of Edifor grew disaffected with Ricky III's usurpation of the throne. The Duke of Buckingham, Ricky's old mate, invited Henry Tudor to be king, to kill Ricky III, become king, and then bang Ricky III's niece, Elizabeth. It's quite a good package deal, isn't it?
Can you imagine going up to somebody with that as a... Hey, can we have a meet-up? Right, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to kill him, you can be king, and bang his niece. Yeah, like... Can you imagine that conversation?
Oh, imagine it, him trying to come on to Elizabeth, having killed the uncle.
Yeah, hey baby. How's it going? Miss your uncle.
I penetrated your uncle with a sword, and now I'd like to penetrate you, my dear. That is the level of the podcast, so if you're not on board with it, just... It's not going to get any better than that. If you've come for the rest is history, you're in the wrong room. On 22nd of August 1485, Richard met the outnumbered forces of Henry Tudor at the Battle of Bosworth Field. According to historian Paul Kendall, the traditional view is that he shouted out treason before falling because he was abandoned by the Baron Stanley, Sir William Stanley, and Henry Percy, the 4th Earl of Humberland. Baron Stanley was supposed to be a pillar of the Ricardian regime, but he was also the stepfather of Henry Tudor. And if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Do not go into battle with one of your generals is banging the mother of your enemy. I just think it's a key error that people make. You know what I mean? Careful. So his last words were apparently treason. What do you want your last words to be?
I'd want them to be profound, but I don't think they would be.
What you mean, just the word profound?
Profound. It depends what I'm doing, doesn't it, really?
Or who's doing you?
Well, yeah, harder. That's what I want it to be. Yeah. How about you?
I want my final words to be, thank you, Lester. Didn't say about 20 minutes' time. Can you believe this is the peak of my comedy career? So, apparently, Ricky III fought bravely and ably. I would dispute ably based on the fact that he had about 11 fractures in his skull when he found the skeleton. It doesn't entirely indicate that he was fighting particularly ably. Ricky III was buried in Greyfriars Church in a town I've forgotten the name of. He was the last king of England to die on the battlefield. That's a...
Yeah. Oh. Good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to send Charles into... wherever the fuck we're bombing now. No, you don't agree with that. No. Just send an old man into battle, like, good luck, pal.
Sword.
Yeah, here's a sword. Where's Paddington for you, eh, sunshine?
Richard III was the last Plantagenet king.
Yeah.
The Plantagenets ruled for 330 years.
Okay.
And he fucked it all up. He fucked it. Is that a quim closer for you, breaking 3 centuries of dynastic rule? Your boyfriend Reese, for example.
Yeah.
If you'd found out he'd broken 330 years of clan supremacy, would you have been like, fuck up, mate?
Does he keep the riches?
No, he's dead.
Oh, okay. So I mean, it kinda don't matter if he's dead, does it? As mad as you want at him. He's dead.
True. Part of the reason the Ricardians are so obsessed with, like, redoing his legacy is there was an attempt once the Tudors came in, Henry VII and so on, to denigrate his character. Obviously, some of us will be familiar with the Richard III, the play by Shakespeare, which depicts him as a sort of Machiavellian cripple, and which was then made into a film with Laurence Olivier. I was looking into some of the things that were made up about him after he died, and they were a bit weird. They're not even necessarily bad, they're just odd. So this is generally some things that were made up about him after his death. He had a lengthy gestation.
Okay. So do elephants.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you don't think elephants are dickheads because they spend 2 years in the womb, do you?
No.
Imagine if we were doing a roast battle and I said, you were in your mum's belly for 10 months, you dickhead. Here's another one. The Tudors claimed that he... emerged from the womb. They're all womb-based for some reason. All these Tudor-based insults. The Tudors claimed that he emerged from the womb with teeth and hair.
It's because he's been in there 10 months, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Can you imagine a baby gnashing its way out of you? That would be fucking horrendous, wouldn't it? No, all right, I've turned you. Fair enough. Back to the facts, Aidan.
Just another one. They claimed he was a breech birth, which I take issue with because I was a breech birth. Do we all know what a breech birth is?
Ass first,
baby.
That's how he enters a room.
Yeah, I enter every room and the world ass first. And make no mistake, that's how I'm going to leave him. Other things attributed to Richard III after his death to denigrate him included... he emerged from the womb with the grey thinning hair of a 50-something geography teacher. he used his umbilical cord as a rope swing in the delivery room. And he played a miniature drum kit in the womb at 3 a.m. So, Kath, we're going to get to the big question now.
Yeah.
Richard III's body was discovered partially using ground-penetrating radar. But would you, Kath, allow Richard III to penetrate you with his vagina-penetrating penis? That was a bit laboured, but I do appreciate that some of you laughed at that.
I've never been asked a less sexy question. No, I think it's I read in the museum over the road that apparently he was 5'8", but his scoliosis made him look a lot shorter. And I'm 5'8", and I think for that reason it's a no. I like a tall man. Do we like tall men? Yeah? Where if you're laying down, it don't fucking matter, does it, baby? Even so, I don't know. Who likes short men? Yeah? Okay, one foot. Boo! Oh, dear. Okay, fair enough then. So, yeah, I think people agree with me, even though they were like, oh, that is a little bit superficial. But also, yeah, we do like tall men, so...
It is interesting that I've basically said, would you sleep with this man who's killed two children? And you've gone... How tall is he? 5'8". Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster.
No. If my house is on fire, I want someone who can carry me out of it if I'm passed out. That's my... No, just no one else agrees. Yeah. On the flip side, if he passes out and the house is on fire, he's fucked. So.
Which is fine, because he's a child killer.
Yeah, no, Reese isn't my boyfriend. He's lovely, Reese, oh, yeah. But this cunt is. He's a child killer.
Where's the room at? So we all said no just based on the picture. Let's find out where, like, based on everything we've discussed, the good, you know, he translated the French books, eh? We all, that turns us all on, right? No? Based on the good things and the bad, weigh it up in your mind. Weigh up how he looks, weigh up everything.
He's rich, right?
Well, he's the king
he's
of England.
He's a fucking king, mate.
Yeah. He's gone right up to an end. We were discussing this earlier, and you can sort of tell Kath lived in London for 10 years because she immediately went to the property thing. She was like, does he own property? So he's a fucking king. She was like, well, maybe I will. So give me a cheer if you are a yes, you would bang Richard III.
Yeah.
More than I thought. What's the reason you're cheering?
He didn't kill the kids.
You are from a Ricardian society, aren't you? You're holding back on us. I know some of you are in here stealth. No, why don't you think he killed the kids?
Well, it's a long story. He had no reason to do it.
Well, apart from becoming king?
They were illegitimate. They weren't a threat.
Well, no, but they decided they were illegitimate in the moment, but they could have then... Because, yeah, there was a lot of people working against him, as long as Edward V was alive. I'm not saying he did, but as long as Edward V was alive, there's always the chance he could have come back.
It does feel like you already decided, Eden. I'm not saying he did it, but he did it.
Yeah. And you think he's hot? Why do you think he's hot?
Because he's a very short man. When he's carrying the woman he loves out of the burning building, he's close to the ground. There's more oxygen there.
Yeah.
Carrying the burning woman out of the ground. You know we're talking about Richard III, not Kevin Costner in the film The Bodyguard.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of my mind with
it. Your mind went elsewhere. Yeah, so. Who else was in the yes camp? Anyone?
Just because he's rich.
Just because he's rich, fine. Yeah, the guy over there, what's your name, sir?
Miguel.
Miguel, how come you would?
He got rid of the French.
Have we got any French in tonight? Fuck him.
For the sake of the historical accuracy of the podcast, I don't think he did get rid of the French. I don't think France ceased to exist in 1485. But hey, we can all dream, am I right? So give me a cheer if you're in the no camp on whether you would bang Richard III.
Woo! We're in the no camp. Go. It's been decided.
But there was more yeses than I expected.
Yes. So Richard III will not make it onto the Beer Yo Tap Thatistry. Yep. They are all of the people that we would fuck.
Yeah, the Bio Tap Thatistry is the fictional tapestry that contains a list of everyone we've said yes to on the podcast. We've got about 10 minutes left. We're done with Ricky. Should we do some more of the audience's suggestion?
Mary Boleyn. Scarlett Johansson.
Again, confusing the actress playing the part with
so
the thing.
Hot.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson is hot, as is, but then so is playing Anne Boleyn, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
So is Eric Banner, Eric Bloody Banner, playing the King Henry VIII. Yeah. But actually, but this is another interesting one, because exceptionally handsome men get cast as Henry VIII. So you have Eric Banner played him. Who's the ginger actor who was in... Damien Lewis played him. But at the time, we think of Henry VIII as being this overweight man. But at the time, he was seen as this athletic, handsome guy. So it does make sense that we cast hot people as these people.
Mm. Oh, hey up, Rasputin.
Hey! Is that you?
Yeah.
So why do you put Rasputin in the suggestions?
I just like goaty, stinky men. That might be a personal thing, I don't know.
But he was, and I'm sure this was from a historical document, he was Russia's greatest love machine, according to the esteemed historian M. Dot Boney.
I'd have a go on his Boney M.
But I always... if someone's... Women, you can answer this. Or maybe men as well, I don't know. If like a guy...
Allowed. Thank you, Adam.
Pardon? I will... Yeah. If a man is ugly, but all women are sleeping with him, does that pique your curiosity about the person? A little bit. Well, what about you? What do you think?
Me?
Yeah, if you weren't attracted to a man, yeah. But you knew that just loads of women were like drawn to him, would that pique your curiosity? Because I think that's what happened with Rasputin, because he wasn't attractive. But
your attractiveness is based on what? Where we got different realms of attractiveness.
That's quite
like
right.
Charisma, how you make us feel, rather than how you look is different.
I don't know what you're talking about. So we're going to move on from that. Mary, Queen of Scots. Who put Mary Queen of Scots?
Yeah, probably me again.
You again? This guy is so horny for history. He's just like, everyone who ever lived, get them in the cup. Why do you put Mary Queen of Scots?
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan, yeah. You're a one woman IMDb.
I don't know, I didn't learn it, I watched it.
Oh, yeah, no,
I learned your history.
I'm going to test you later. I'm just going to name people from history and you have to tell me who played them. Why Mary Queen of Scots?
Well, yeah, she married three times, people,
So your ideal woman is just someone who's been divorced several times.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, if after all of that, they can still look at me and go, actually, you're all right, I'm figuring fair play, because you've been through a few, maybe I'm okay.
If you're a woman in Leicester, And you see him hanging outside the divorce courts, just going.
We've got one here that we actually did an episode on this person, Vlad the Impaler.
Hey. Why did you put Vlad the Impaler?
I don't fancy my envy him.
You envy him?
Because if you call Vlad the Impaler,
yeah,
you kill people with.
You kill people with sticks in a horrible manner.
Yeah, maybe your penis is so large that they call you the Impaler.
I mean, that would be fucking sick, right?
If anyone didn't hear that, he said, maybe he's called Vlad the Impaler because his dick is so large. Well, it could have been that, but we did an episode on him, and we can tell you it's not. He just really likes stabbing people. Through the arse. Some of them were stabbed through the arse, up the thing, and then out there.
And then he'd eat a meal with them, just like decorating the house. And that's weird, right? That is a weird. If you got invited on a date, do you want to come around? I'll make you a meal. Sure, that sounds lovely. And then you turn up, and he's just got a shitload of his enemies impaled up the arsehole. Be like, darling, what is this? No, you'd all be like, oh no, cool, what are we having? No. Fair enough, you do you.
I think the...
That was just another Mary.
And what's the thing you like saying in the podcast, Kath?
Oh, it's not what's on the inside. It's not what's on the outside of the coffin that counts. It's what's on the inside. I've messed that up, I'm sorry.
It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside of the coffin that counts.
There we go.
That's Thank you for coming. See you next year.
You have been listening to Historical Hot or Not, written and created by Aidan McCaffrey and Catherine Mather. The podcast art was by our good friend Richard Todd, and our theme music by excellent musician and also good friend David Eagle. We also have music by Ergo Fismes, letter license from the Free Music Archive. If you've enjoyed us and you'd like to donate to the cause, we would love you to do that also. You can find us at ko-fi.com/hotnotpod, and you can download bonus episodes of Historical Hot or Not from Acast Plus. The link is available on our Linktree, linktree.com/hotnotpod. Bye!